We bow our heads in prayer. Gracious and Heavenly Father, as we journey once again to your cross, your death, your resurrection, we are reminded of that great gift of love that belongs to each of us. In the midst of the brokenness we often see in our lives and the broken hearts that we often experience, we have the assurance that you are there with us. And so we ask now that you would open us to the power of your word this day. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, we pray. Amen. So let's just begin with a simple little question. For those of you who have never had a broken heart, would you please raise your hand? That's what I thought. Yes, we have all experienced broken hearts. Sometimes a broken heart is because we have some very unrealistic expectations. You know, the kind that when you are sure, when you were young and dating, that there was a certain young lady or young man who was surely going to be enamored by you. But that person does not return that affection that you thought you should receive, and so, brokenhearted, you look to another. Death can leave us with a broken heart. Losing a loved one is painful. Death leaves us with a heavy heart. And it feels like at times there's a hole in our heart. And then there is that broken heart that some of you have experienced, but not all of us have experienced, and that is that of a broken relationship, either through engagement, a broken engagement, or a broken marriage. And when you've suffered that, it takes time. And it takes a great deal of love and a rebuilding of trust. And even then, sometimes a broken heart is not totally healed. And while most of us have not experienced that kind of broken promise, we turn to the words of Jeremiah. Behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah, not like the covenant I made with their fathers on the day when I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt. My covenant they broke. If you want to talk about a broken heart, let's talk about God's broken heart. How many times have we broken his heart? In the Old Testament reading, Jeremiah talks how God's chosen people, that people he had set apart, continually broke his heart. They were unfaithful. Yes, they were a covenant people. And too many times they either broke the covenant or rejected the covenant. And so as Jeremiah proclaims his prophecy to God's people, he sort of drops in these chapters, chapters 30 to 33, and they're known in many circles as the Little Book of Comfort. In the midst of this writing, proclaiming how God's people had forsaken their God, he also says to them, Behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will write a new covenant. Some beautiful words for the people of God. Remember what Israel were like as God's covenant people. He had brought them up out of slavery, having built this wonderful nation down in Egypt, and then under their suffering, he brings them out, promises them the promised land. He leads them out. He takes them through the wilderness for those 40 years, and then he puts them in the promised land. And yet what we read time and time again in the Old Testament is that this people who God had chosen, who God had established this beautiful covenant relationship with, oftentimes ignored him, were unfaithful. And in some places in Scripture, it even talks as Israelites of being like whores. They were unfaithful in keeping the law. They were unfaithful by bringing empty sacrifices and also in their worship. Can you imagine how many times God's people broke his heart? Chosen as they were, and yet oftentimes a stiff-necked people. And as Jeremiah writes, this people finds themselves in exile, having been promised the promised land, and here they are off in Babylon. And guess what? It broke God's heart to put them there. But because of their disobedience, this is where they found themselves. Now, it's easy for us to talk about the Israelites and the Old Testament and all of that, and yet we too must confess that we have often not been a covenant people with our God. How often do we break God's heart by our lack of commitment, our ignoring the commandments, our lack of putting God first and foremost in our life? And yes, the list could go on. You can see it in our lives, and you can see it in our world. But let's go back to the Old Testament reading. Those words of comfort for God's people. He says, the days are coming. He's talking about a future time. He's talking about that God will establish this new covenant. He's going to usher in the Messianic age, that which Israel was looking forward to. God is reminding them, and he reminds us, that we have an eternal future. When we can stand in his presence eternally. Yes, Jeremiah reveals that God is about to establish something new. Doesn't mean he's going to do something totally different. This covenant, this new covenant, will be totally on God. The responsibility. This is what God will do for us. In the old covenant God had established with Israel, there was those responsibilities for us. The things that we were to do in order to keep that old covenant. But instead, the days are coming, he says, and he sends his son. And in that son, he says, this is what I will do for you. What a beautiful covenant that is. He says, I will take your sins, I will take your iniquities, I will take your brokenness, and I will place it upon my son. And this he will do for you. Out of my love, out of God's grace, God empowers us in life to be who we are. Yes, this reality of the new covenant is partly established through Christ's death and resurrection. As we journey once again to the cross, as we next week walk into that beautiful week of Holy Week, and we are reminded time and time again, this is what God has done for us. This is the power of God at work for you and for me. It comes through the cross. God offering to each one of us forgiveness, his grace, life, salvation. to all who believe. He, and He alone, accomplishes this for us. There's that beautiful psalm, Psalm 51, and in that psalm there are these words. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit. A broken and a contrite heart, O God, you will not despise. A broken heart is sometimes a hard thing to deal with. And yet our hearts need to be broken because of our sinfulness and our lack of really turning to God and being committed to God as we should be. And we need to be reminded that a broken heart, a contrite heart, God will not despise. He remembers us. He knows us. He talks about that new relationship He has with us. And as Mrs. Erickson talked about our heart, that law written upon our heart, that reminder time and time again of that beautiful relationship that God has established with and for us. In Lent, we take that journey every year to reflect upon our sinfulness, to be reminded of our need to repent and ask for God's forgiveness, and to see there in His passion our victory. The heart of God is a heart full of love. And that love, as verse 34 says, remembers our sins no more. Think about that. God, in His love for us, when we confess and are forgiven, He remembers our sins no more. What a beautiful relationship we have with God. It's not about what you or I do, but about what God has done for us. For God, that covenant is one of love, forgiveness,